Accession number 9431, Reel 5.
Mr. Grunwell, Reel 5. Can you tell me about your appointment to Ambleteuse?
Well, with my occupation when I joined the army, being a clerk, that was why I was chosen for orderly room work at Ambleteuse.
Can you remember what time that would be?
May 1917.
And can you tell me something about Ambleteuse Camp?
Well, it was quite a, you might say, a real holiday camp for the troops what came down for rest from the front line.
What did the camp consist of?
Well, as far as I know, whether it was huts or not, I think it must have been huts, but I'm not certain. But there was Army Commandant, Lieutenant Colonel Sandell, what came from Sutton-on-Sea in Lincolnshire. There was also officers there too, and of course the camp was run quite for a rest period. No drill or anything of that. It was simply a real change for those men who'd been so long at the front.
What facilities existed there for providing amusement and entertainment?
Well, I don't... The holy thing about it, during the day there was a lot indulged in taking a dip in the sea, which Ambleteuse lies on the sea coast with a nice bay where the sea comes in, fairly shallow, and it's fairly safe, and lots of them would indulge in that sense. Belong was only 10 miles away, or 8 or 10 miles away. Calais wasn't so very far away. Whether some of them would go down there and just have a look round and back again, but on the whole it was nice change for them.
And what about for yourself?
I was occupied in the order room occasionally I had the pleasure of swimming in the sea, but my work was with a corporal in an orderly room, just doing clerical work.
And what sort of clerical work was that?
Well, it must have been perhaps dealing with the things relating to the people who was coming down to the camp and returning and so on. That's as far as I remember.
What was your own feeling about being out of the front line?
Well, it was a delight, especially to be in a place where you could see the white cliffs of Dover, you could see the sea, you could breathe, and you was away from gunfire and everything else. It was really what it was called. I don't know whether it was the First Army Rest Camp. I think that's what it was called. The First Army Rest Camp.
How long were you at Ambleteuse for?
Well, I suppose just the summer months. So that might have been 2 or 3 or 4 months, perhaps might have been September.
And then what happened?
As far as I know, I'd been returned to my battalion, and then came the disbandment.
Why do you think they returned you to your battalion?
Well, the camp was over. The work was finished, what I was engaged on. The camp was over, as far as I know, and therefore...
I see, so the camp only existed during the summer months?
I suppose that was it. Yes. Yes, you might say it was a summer rest camp.
So you returned to your battalion?
All as I remember, yes, must have done.
Do you remember where they were?
Well, it must have been somewhere round on the Somme. I can't just remember the place itself, but it must have been somewhere there.
And you say that they were then disbanded?
Well, in other words, we'll put it this way, that Reformation of the Army came, which meant three battalions and a brigade instead of four, and we was the ones what was deleted.
And to which new unit were you attached?
Whether we'd had any preference, that I don't know. Some might have gone to the 2nd Bradford PAL, some might have gone to the Leeds PAL, which was one of the other battalions, and the other one was the Durham Light Infantry, you see. But I was sent to the entrenching battalion, which was more or less doing work outside the lines, on working parties, away from the lines.
Can you explain to me why the battalion was called an entrenching battalion?
Well, I suppose the whole idea was that they was there to dig trenches behind the line in case that the front line gave way, the Germans came over, and there was also this, so to speak, place which they could retreat to and still take up defence.
Do you recall digging any trenches yourself?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember what we did, but we must have been busied all the time, really.
Whereabouts were you stationed?
Methune was one of the places.
Which is quite a large town, isn't it, behind the lines?
That's right.
Can you remember visiting Bethune?
Oh, yes. I've not visited Bethune after more or less being transferred again to the 1st West Yorkshire Regiment.
But when you were in the entrenching battalion, was that your nearest town?
We were stationed there.
So you're actually stationed inside the town?
Yes, we must have been, but I can't tell you anything about the billets or anything of that. But I remember Methune.
What was the reaction of the French population to the British troops?
Well, they was quite all right. We not much connections with them. The only time, if you perhaps wanted a drink of coffee, milk and coffee, or a chocolate bar of chocolate, something like that, a few of the money you'd probably go and purchase, or you might go to the baker and get something to eat from him. But otherwise, they minded their own business, same as we did.
Were there plenty of things for you to do in Bethune?
Can't remember. You couldn't do anything much as you were in the army. Especially 3 and 6 a week. That's all you had to, so to speak, for otherwise than your rations. Oh, no. You simply carried on, as I've already said, making the best of things.
Can you tell me how long that you stayed with the entrenching battalion?
Maybe in 3 or 4 months.
And so what would that take you up to, the end of 1917?
Yes, I suppose so.
And where did you move to next?
All I can say, somewhere in Belgium.
I wasn't actually thinking in terms of physically where you moved to, but what unit did you move to?
The 1st West Yorks.
And you said you moved to Belgium.
Right.
Whereabouts in Belgium did you go to?
That I can't tell you.
Can you remember any of the major towns that you might have been near?
Poperinge must have been very near. And Ypres can't have been so very far away. And of course, as I mentioned about this place, Dickiebusch was quite near. But these places, Poperinge, I suppose, had a certain amount of people moving about there, but as regards round Ypres and Dickiebusch, there's no doubt about it, there'd been heavy battles fought round there, and it was just simply a... everything was just a wreck.
You're talking about in terms of the buildings and the villages being...
Oh, they're absolutely down.
What about the countryside?
Oh, it's taboo.
When you say it's taboo, what do you mean?
Well, there was nothing. It was just in ruin. Everything in ruin. Looked as if they'd been fighting all over the ground.
What were your feelings when you arrived at that place?
Well, you just took everything as you found it, carried on, and hoping that sooner or later you'd be out of it.
Was there a trench system where you were stationed?
No.
So how were you accommodated? What were you positioned in?
Well, there must have been some huts or something of that, but I don't remember anything.
Now, referring to the front line, well, what would you be in there?
Oh, the front line was just simply, as I say, there was outposts, there was no front line.
So they were isolated?
Perhaps a quarter of a mile, spread out in a quarter of a mile. It was just simply there as outposts.
At that point, what was the land like? I mean, you've already described it was very devastated. Was it?
It was just simply any old house. Looked as if it was more or less. Well, we talk about a ploughed field, but far it looked as if it had all been ploughed up at one time with the force of shells. What the ground had had to take.
Do you have any idea how far the German lines were from your outposts?
They wasn't very far away, because there was one day we felt they was going to attack. One morning we heard whistling, which evidently came from the German positions. And the thought was, perhaps they was getting ready for an attack. With it being the time of the year, early on in 1918, it was said that the Germans was going to make final attack for the Channel ports. So that naturally, the noise, the whistling we heard was a little bit unsettling. We certainly thought that the next moon there would be over the top.
What time was it when you heard all this whistling? Was it at night?
In the morning. And at night time, when the chaps, when you took your turn, so to speak, just looking over the top of where you was, it was hardly a trench, it was just a position. The bushes, what had been left, perhaps of trees of the forest, we was at a place called Hoppy Wood. And the little bushes, which the wind was constantly blowing, definitely caused a lot of us to more or less think, well, this is it.
Can you explain what you mean? Well, why did you think the movement of the trees and bushes made you...
Well, we thought probably there was the Germans creeping stealthily over. And of course, at night time, you can understand as a guard seeing coming over at night time just out of it. The only time when in France, which was rather nice, was when all was darkness and you got the full moon.
Why was that? So, because you had a clear field of view?
Well, it was a change to see the moon and think, well, we're still living. Well, eventually we were relieved from there, and how thankfully we were.
Were you able to establish what the whistling was that you'd heard?
All I can think is the Germans being the lovers of music that they are, probably it was just more or less to keep the morale of the German in the trenches.
And then you said you returned to a rest camp. Can you remember what the name of the village was that you were stationed in?
I can't tell you that. It wasn't far from a place called Dickybush.
And what happened whilst you were at this rest camp?
Well, occasionally we went round a lake at Dickybush, whether to kind of just patrol around there, that appeared to be what it was. Otherwise, I suppose we just hung around doing little or nothing. When one morning, brightly, the sun shined very brightly when we heard a lot of light shells being dropped. We went to investigate and...
Why did you go to investigate?
I suppose from curiosity. I mean, light shells to a lot of us was something new. So
can I ask you why was light shells something new?
Well, in my case, while we had to carry our gas masks with us, I don't think we ever used them, only for inspection. Well, not knowing anything about gas being blown over from the trenches, how long the Germans had used this in gas shells, I don't know. So, of course, it was all new. And light shells, I mean, pop more like pop guns going off. It's strange. So, out of curiosity, we went down to investigate. And to the army people's annoyance, we all came back rubbing our eyes, and before very, very long, couldn't see. With that, we was carted off to Pofferidge, blanket over us, on a kind of a light railway, While we was there, the Germans came over and started bombing the hospital. The Popperinge, or dropping the bombs round there. And amusingly, as we was carrying from one part of the hospital to the others, the stretcher bearers tried to assure and says, "Don't worry, you're all right." And then after Popperinge, we was taken down to Cali, where we stayed until some of us got our sight back and others died through gas being effect in their lungs.
Can I ask you, going back in that story, you said that much of the annoyance of the army when you came back rubbing your eyes. Can you explain what exactly happened when you arrived back?
Well, I suppose, really speaking, that the officers thought to when we was absolutely, we ought to have known about them without, we ought to have had knowledge of this kind of gas being dropped, which of course we didn't. And of course remember that there must have been quite a lot of us what had been sent from the entrenching battalion, what was kind of new to that kind of experience.
Was there any suggestion that you'd done it on purpose?
Oh, no, no. No. I mean, after all said and done, it was done.
Can you remember what treatment was given to you?
I don't think any treatment was given. It might have been given to those chaps what hadn't got it on the chest. Perhaps if the bouts of coughing, but I don't remember. I think the old thing about it was a case of time and hoping that time would put things right.
Were you sent back to England?
No.
And so you stayed in hospital in Calais, is that correct?
Stayed in the hospital in Calais for so long.
And can you explain what happened to you there?
Well, you just wandered about, I suppose, was dependent upon the staff to just take you around if you wanted to go to the toilet or if you wanted to do anything of that, of course, being blind and new experience, well, just simply helpless.
Yes, how did you feel at that, I mean, that point?
Well, there again, I was young. And, of course, it was a case of taking things as they came. Couldn't help your position.
Can you tell me how you came to get your sight back?
Just came, that's all.
Can you remember that experience when it did arrive?
No, I don't remember anything about it, only that my sight was given me again.
Can you remember when it was that you recovered, how long you were injured for?
Well, I don't know, I should say, going on for a month or more, perhaps a month and a half.
Had the gas done any other damage to you, physical damage to you?
None.
So having recovered your sight, what then happened?
Well, I must have returned to my unit.
Did you return to the same unit?
Yes.
And what month would that be in?
June or July.
Where was the unit stationed when you returned to them?
Very near to Ypres.
And by this time, had the German offensive started?
That I can't say. I don't think so. Whether they changed their tactics, I don't know.
Can you recall if there was much fighting going on?
No, not at that time.
Can you explain what happened to you at Ypres after you returned? Did you return to the same part of the line you'd been in before with Amherst?
I don't think we was up. I no, it wasn't the same. We were somewhere around there, but it wasn't. I don't think it was Oppywood where we were. We was in some position there, which I can't just remember. But there seemed to be more of us there, as I said, the Americans started coming in and having their experience with the British soldiers.
What did you make of the American troops?
Well, they seemed quite like ourselves. There wasn't, as some of us think of the Americans, as swaggering. They simply weathered the trench warfare more or less, gave them a sobering effect or not, I don't know.
Did you have much contact with the American troops?
Only as you was occupying a post at the front. Otherwise, there was no social gathering or anything like that. When there was out of the line, I suppose they report to their own people and so on. I don't remember anything about that because I wasn't long enough to know anything about them apart from coming and joining the party I was with just for an experience in the trenches. Mm.
Were their rations any different to yours?
As far as I know, they're the same rations as we had while they was with us.
You say you weren't very long in the line. Can you explain what happened to you?
Well, on one occasion, I'd gone with the American troops, soldiers, down to the headquarters for the rations for my section and they also for their section. And arriving back to our position, they said, well, we forgot to get the tea and sugar ration. So all I could say was, well, we'll go back and get it. So we went back, got their ration, and when we got back to our position, the day was breaking, and unthinkingly, my head was above the trench, and then the sniper got me in the head, and that was the last I had to do with the front line.
Can you remember actually the actual experience of being shot?
The only experience I remember